an Ironic Media production. Visit us at ironicmedia.com.
He knows my mom's condition right now. I try to keep him in the loop, even though I know he doesn't care. He doesn't call to check up on her. He doesn't try to visit. He's not even in school anymore. He graduated last year, but he doesn't want to help. And I did tell him that I needed help. We could take care of her together. That way we could take turns and it's not just super heavy on me. But he only cares about himself.
Hello and welcome to Dementia Discussions, the podcast for and about caregivers. If you'd like to share your caregiving story with me, I'd love to hear from you. Please call me and leave a message at 310-362-8232 or send me an email at dementiadiscussions.net. Today, my guest is Evelyn Garcia. Evelyn was referred to me through my co-facilitator, Monica Moore, at UCLA, the Easton Center. And so, Evelyn, good morning. It's great to have you here. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
You and I are just meeting, and all I know is that you're caring for your mother. Tell us about your situation.
Well, I actually used to live out in Virginia, and that's when I started noticing back in 2020 that my mom wasn't okay. Every time I would talk to her on the phone, she would be crying, and it was just way too much crying, more than usual, and she would be frustrated. It wasn't until months after I've noticed that change that I got a phone call from her doctor saying that my mom shouldn't be alone. Her health was going downhill pretty quick, and something was wrong with her memory. So I decided to fly out and see for myself where my mom was at. And when I got here, I realized my mom needed a lot of help. Bills were not getting paid. She was more paranoid than I've ever noticed her being, and she was forgetful. So I quickly realized that, no, she needs someone. She can't live alone. So that's when I made the decision to move back to help her, because I knew that nobody else would. So that was back in June of last year that I made the change.
And you had not known anything before this?
No. It wasn't until after I moved that I went to her doctor's appointments. Her primary care physician told me that she had dementia. I didn't really, like, I kind of knew what dementia was, but I had no idea what it actually was.
I think that's pretty common.
Yeah.
You really don't know what it entails until you find yourself in the situation.
Oh, yeah.
When you say, like, she was more paranoid than you had ever noticed, what sorts of things?
So, honestly, I don't blame my mom for being the way she is right now, especially because I know that this disease makes it worse for her. But growing up, we do have terrible family. They would steal from her, and they're just bad people. So I know that some of that paranoia comes from there. So basically, my mom cries a lot, but it has to do with things that have been stolen, or she thinks that were stolen. She also thinks that my cousin breaks in the house and steals from us, even things that don't make sense, like spoons or plates. She cries out of anger because she says that I don't believe her, but, like, I know that in her mind, this is a reality. And it's not that I don't believe her. It's more like I know what's happening. Mm-hmm. And I try to make her feel heard, but at the same time, it is a little hard to kind of deal with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Can you say that to her? I hear you, Mom. I know you think whatever his name is, so-and-so took all the spoons. Let me go check the spoons. I'm going to go see. Oh, mom, all the spoons are here. Have a look. I don't know if that would work.
I've been learning. This whole time has just been just a roller coaster of, like, figuring things out on how to communicate with my mom and how to make her feel better about certain things and not make her feel like she's crazy, because she's not. I don't think she's crazy. I've never used that word with her. And she's the one that always uses it, calling herself crazy. But I always get mad at her. I'm like, no, nobody's using that word. You're not crazy.
Right. You're not crazy. And usually there is like a thread of truth. This stuff doesn't come from nowhere, like you said, her background, right? So there was like a thread of truth in her history where people did steal from her.
So yeah, I don't blame her for the way that she is. And honestly, it's not even her fault. It's just unfortunate that this has started to develop.
I guess if it becomes totally unmanageable, the paranoia is so unmanageable that you need medication for it. You can ask your doctor about meds for paranoia.
Yeah, I have. I believe I still need to get her to see a psychiatrist. I tried before, but my mom doesn't like taking medications. I have a hard time giving her medicine sometimes. She's diabetic, so she has to take her medications for that. And it's hard because she doesn't want to take all her pills. Naturally, when I told her, oh, you might have to take more medication if you go see a psychiatrist, they had to talk to her and she denied care because of the medication. And because of that, they couldn't do anything. So it's not like I can force her right now to go to a psychiatrist, although she absolutely needs it.
That is a hard place to be. Sometimes the internist will prescribe medications, and sometimes you don't have to actually say that they're medicines. You know, some people say they're vitamins or they're part of your diabetes medicines. Or it's your, sometimes people fib a little bit just to get the medicine in, just to get her to take it more easily.
And we have been working with her neurologist. He's prescribed some antidepressants as well. Some work a little bit, then they don't, and we have to switch it up. Right now, she's better than she's been before. And that's honestly, although she's not 100%, I'm glad that there's some kind of relief there, because it would get bad at times.
And when you say get bad, what are you thinking?
Just a lot of crying. And also, because I'm the only one with her, she does accuse me of stealing her life savings, which is common. I know that that happens a lot with caregivers that take care of someone with dementia. But honestly, it sucks. It sucks so much because I've never stolen from my mom. And then to have her just say these hurtful things, it's kind of borderline abusive too. But I know that it's not her. I know that it's just the disease. And I try to keep that in mind when things get tough, because there are times when she just gets so angry at me that she can't even look at me. It just makes everything worse. She can't calm down. She cries for hours. Yeah, it's really tough sometimes.
It sounds like it. And if you say to her, Mom, when you accuse me of stealing your money, your life savings, that hurts my feelings.
Oh, yeah. No, I've tried going that way and it doesn't work. It doesn't go anywhere, because to her, that's her reality. That's also a reason why I can't have my best friend over, because she thinks that while I was living in Virginia, that I flew over here months in advance to steal her money with my best friend, that he's the one that helped me. And to her, that's real. That happened.
Mm-hmm.
So
this fixed illusion.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of that.
Very difficult. Yeah, I'm glad you've talked to the doctor about medications, and hopefully you'll be able to make some headway with that.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. I mean, I guess maybe also just distracting her to another topic.
Oh, yeah. I've gotten better at that, actually. I've had to figure these things out just to learn how to better interact and communicate and kind of move forward with our day. That way it's not just her crying in the beginning part and then crying for hours. There are some things that I do that help her move along. Some of them are, like, for example, just sitting here in front of the TV and putting on the X-Files. She loves the X-Files. Anytime she sees Mulder and Scully, she's like, oh, Mulder and Scully. And she gets all happy and she forgets what she was crying about. Like,
great. If Mulder and Scully do it, perfect. That was a great show. So, yeah, absolutely.
So there are some things that I can do. And sometimes I also just, if I notice that she's feeling a little down and she's going to start crying, I quickly change the subject and I ask her, do you want to go walk to Descanso Gardens because my partner's mom, she was nice enough to buy us membership there. So we do go every now and then to walk around. My mom loves plants. She loves them. So it's actually kind of hard to walk with her because she stops every like few seconds. Oh, look at this flower. What is it called? Oh, look at this. Oh, take a picture. Take a picture. Everything. She wants pictures of everything. And we don't get really far in like an hour. But yeah. As long as she's having fun, I guess that's why we're there.
Absolutely. And we're lucky. Our weather is so good. You can probably go there often, keep her mood light and bright. Yeah.
Yeah. So that there are things that I've learned to do to kind of make her a little more happy.
You look so young. Can I ask how old you are?
Yeah, I'm 29.
Oh, goodness. And how old is your mom?
She's 64.
Wow. So this is young onset.
Oh, yeah. I spoke to her neurologist about this because we're trying to figure things out. And he believes that it's Alzheimer's, but he doesn't want to say for sure until he's looked over the PET scan and the neuropsych tests. So he believes that it's Alzheimer's, but he also said that this could have started maybe around the time that she was 62. I mean, it makes sense looking back now because my mom did have a little bit, not like your normal, oh, I misplaced the keys kind of thing. It was a little more than that. And I've noticed that. I did notice that before, but it's definitely gotten worse since the pandemic began. It's definitely gotten worse. I think it didn't help also that my mom did get COVID. When was it? In late December of 2020. She also had a head injury around that time.
She fell? What happened? Yes.
She fell when she was coming down the stairs. After she had gotten down the stairs and she started walking, and that's when she slipped and fell and hit the back of her head. Apparently, it was really hard. She didn't want to go to the hospital around that time because that was one of the times that COVID was bad. And so she didn't tell me about this until maybe weeks later. So I made her go. And unfortunately, I didn't live in California at the time. So once I found out, I asked my best friend to take her to the emergency room, and they looked her over. Thankfully, she wasn't bleeding or anything. So they sent her back home. But yeah, I don't think that did her any favors.
No, it sounds like that the head injury and there was something on anyway.
Yeah, I feel like that sped things up. Mm-hmm. Quite a lot.
Right. And aside from misplacing her keys, what else were you noticing?
Oh, there are things every now and then that I notice. I actually have a little notebook here that I keep, but she never knows the date. It's not normal that she doesn't know the year that she lives in. She asks the same questions often, super often. Actually, a few weeks ago was the first time that she didn't recognize me. That was pretty scary. Well, she found my high school graduation photo and she looked at it and she was like, oh, this must be my friend. And when that was happening, I was building some IKEA furniture with my girlfriend. My girlfriend was here to witness that. And I kind of just looked at her and I looked back at my mom and I said, I don't think that's your friend, Mom. And she looked at me and she laughed and she's like, no, it is. It is my friend. And then she looked at the picture again because I guess she knew that something was a little wrong with my reaction. And then she looked at it and she's like, oh, no, that must be me when I was younger.
But that so hard for you that she didn't recognize you?
Oh, yeah. That hurt real bad because that was the first time that it's happened. And I know that eventually we'll get there. I just didn't think that it was going to start so quickly. Yeah, it just, anytime I notice something new that isn't normal for my mom, I do cry. I cry, but I never do it in front of her because I don't want her to see like, oh, wow, I'm getting worse, or, oh, I'm making my daughter cry. But yeah, it's really, really hard, especially because I'm basically the only one that cares for her. My family, they don't offer to help a few of them don't even believe that anything's wrong with her. And it's really unfortunate because I need help. Like one person can't possibly do this. And it's extremely hard for me because that's my mom. Like I see her getting worse.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you have siblings?
Yeah, I have one that my mom raised. And then I have, I believe, 7 half siblings. But those don't matter because those are on my dad's side and they don't like my mom for things that weren't even her fault. But yeah, I have
the sibling that your mom raised. It's that person here in California.
He is. He's been up in Davis. Mm. And it gets me really angry because back in 2020, when my mom got COVID, I wasn't in the state and I couldn't travel. Back then, I was going through a fire academy as well. So if I left, I didn't know when I was going to come back because of there were no vaccines back then. And this whole quarantining thing was pretty heavy back then. So I asked him, I called him like, hey, this is what's happening with mom. She has COVID. Can you please go take care of her? She needs you. You're at least in the same state. Please go take care of her. And he only tells me what I want to hear. And then when it comes down to acting on it, he doesn't do anything. He ignores my calls. And he does that quite often. He knows my mom's condition right now. I try to keep him in the loop, even though I know he doesn't care. He doesn't call to check up on her. He doesn't try to visit. He's not even in school anymore. He graduated last year, but he doesn't want to help. And I did tell him that I needed help. We could take care of her together. That way we could take turns. And it's not just super heavy on me, but he only cares about himself.
He's a younger brother or an older brother?
I believe he's in his early to mid 20s.
Yeah, you guys are so young. Oh, goodness. So it falls on you. After the fire academy, how are you working and taking care of your mom? Are you able to?
Oh, that's that's a whole nother thing. So when I received the news about my mom's health, I was in the process of also, I think I had finished my fire academy by then. I also have my EMT certification. So I was in the process of trying to become a career firefighter with Fairfax County in Virginia. And I really wanted to get hired. And the process is a long one, and it was going really well for me. So there was a good chance. I feel like there was a good chance that I could have made it. But more than halfway through the process, that's when I got the news. So I had to walk away from the opportunity. At that point, I knew that I couldn't think about myself. And I had to do what had to be done, and that was to take care of my mom. I tried to look for work out here as an EMT, but because I'm the only one that cares for my mom, they didn't respect the hours that I wanted to work. So I couldn't find work as an EMT because of that. They were willing to hire me, but I just realized that my mom was going to be left alone for longer than I wanted to. And her doctor had already told me that she needs 24/7 supervision. So yeah, I didn't do that, but I was getting a little tight on money. And back in January, I found a job as a sleep apnea tech. So I would work during the nights, basically from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. And it would range. Sometimes I would get home earlier, but that didn't last very long because I wouldn't sleep. During the day, I would be making sure that my mom was eating, making sure that she was safe, making sure that she got exercise, goes to her doctor's appointments. And it just, all these responsibilities that came with caring for another human during the day. And then during the night, I would be working and I would get no sleep. And
yeah. How can you do that?
Yeah, I couldn't do that for more than a month. So I had to, again, walk away from that. So it's not that I don't want a job. I would love to get back into just being an EMT or maybe getting a job as an ER tech at a hospital, but I can't do that at the moment. And it's frustrating also because I also want to work on myself and, my life. I don't want to keep it on hold for very long, but for now, I have to do what has to be done.
Wow. So you really had to give up your career track back east, your dream. And now it seems like it's going to be kind of put off for a while yet.
I'm hoping that things change soon, just because I have been taking care of my mom and kind of pushing for that diagnosis. That way it's easier and I can get IHSS to help. And maybe if that happens, I can have more free time and I can get a job and I can afford to then have someone come in and help me take care of my mom if I don't get enough hours with IHSS.
Right.
So I'm hoping that with this diagnosis, things can move on and I can slowly get my life moving again.
Yeah. And I wonder if there is an adult daycare program around you where she can go during the day, maybe an Alzheimer's daycare program.
Yeah. I need to look into that.
That might help you to have some relief during the day. And oftentimes they have transportation. I don't know, just a suggestion. It might just free you up for 6 hours or something. If your mom is she a social person? I mean, you talk about she's at the Descanso Gardens and she kind of perks up.
Yeah.
So if she were around a group of other people. Yeah.
She is very social.
Okay, so that would work for you.
Yeah, she makes friends everywhere. Like we would be standing in line at the grocery store and she would make a friend. Like she's just social.
That's great. That's a great thing. So yeah, it would be maybe worth looking into an adult daycare program nearby.
Yeah.
Seeing if she could join that. And even if most people don't like programs at the beginning until they get familiar with it. So she at first she might say, no, I don't like this. I'm not going back there. It's
right.
For old people. No, it's not for me. But just kind of keep going. Some people say, oh, well, do you want to volunteer at the program or they need your help? Some way to kind of get her back there to make her feel purposeful.
Yeah.
So now you're home basically as her primary caregiver, her sole caregiver 24/7 because she can't be left alone.
Mm-hmm.
Has she left the stove on or?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. That is why I tell her that she can't be left alone. She can't live alone because there are times when she gets so mad at me for something that she thinks I did. And she tries to kick me out, but I keep telling her, you can't be alone. You need someone to be here with you. Like I give examples on why, although I shouldn't, because it doesn't do anything to remind her or try to remind her of why she needs someone. I'm still learning. But
absolutely, of course. And it's so normal to go through all the reasons why, even though logically decent help. But
yeah.
It's only to start listing. Mom, you left the stove on. Mom, you didn't pay this bill. Whatever. All the whole list of reasons. And eventually you won't do that. But look, of course, that's human nature to reason with her.
Yeah.
Even though she's like, no, I can do it. Evelyn, I can do it myself. I can live by myself. I'm fine.
I mean, she can shower by herself. She can get dressed by herself. She can walk. You know, she doesn't need assistance. Although I'm always behind her when she goes up the stairs or in front of her when she goes down the stairs because she has fallen before. Her balance is not the best. But other than that, she can still... If she made a friend off the street, they wouldn't even know that she has dementia because she's still there. But it's
That's such a good point. Yes.
Yeah.
And you said that before, that even her relatives don't believe you.
Right. But that's because they don't spend enough time with her.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So they don't see her repeating stories and repeating questions because they're on the phone with her for 10, 15 minutes.
Right. Yeah.
Her loop is longer than that. So she can go maybe for, I don't know, how long would you say before she starts in on the same question?
Well, she has asked the same questions in front of my family and they don't see anything wrong with that. Even things that you just said to her or things that she should know. But it's just, I don't understand why just they don't believe me when I say that she's not okay. It just blows my mind that they just, like, why would I lie about this? It makes no sense.
Mm-mm.
And it's not like I want them to take over and care for my mom every single day. I just, it would be nice to have family just reach out every once in a while and just be like, hey, Evelyn, do you want, you know, a couple hours to yourself? We can go over and keep your mom company while you get just go to the gym or do whatever it is that you want to do for a couple of hours.
Have you asked them for that?
You've said,
hey, could you come over? Just
I did. Last time I did that was on Easter. And honestly, I didn't expect to have them just flat out not believe me. And I was talking to my two cousins and my aunt. And I honestly snapped because the pressure was just too much. And I felt like I was talking to three brick walls. And it was so annoying to be basically yelling and not be heard.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that these people are my family. They're related to me.
And this is your mom's sister?
Yes. Yes.
Mm.
So unfortunately, that's the situation I find myself in. And I'm so jealous of people that have help. I mean, good for them, but man, is it really hard on caregivers that just do it all by themselves?
And if you invited them over to be with you and your mom, to say, hey, come over for dinner one night or come over for lunch. I would love to see you, cousin so-and-so, aunt so-and-so. Why don't you come spend time with, not to take care of your mom, but to be with you and your mom? Do you think maybe they would see things more clearly?
Honestly, at this point, I feel like, well, they haven't even reached out after Easter. They haven't called or checked up on me or like even wanted to talk about that whole thing that went down. And I honestly feel that it's best if they just don't interact with us at all, because my aunt, she believes everything that my mom says, even if it sounds outrageous sometimes. She believes what my mom says. And
so she believes that you're stealing
exactly
your mom's life savings.
Exactly.
Mm, got it.
And I have heard her, because my mom sometimes, she when she talks on the phone, she puts it on speaker because she doesn't like to put the phone next to her ear. And I have heard my aunt say really bad things about me. And I feel like she feeds my mom's paranoia. Like, I have had a talk with her and I was like, look, you can't be doing that because I'm the one that deals with it. You just get to, I guess, add more fuel to the fire and just walk away. And I'm the one that has to live with her and has to, it's just really hard. It doesn't help. They don't help. And it would be nice if they weren't like that and if they actually helped, but I'm like, now I am 100% sure that I will not be receiving any kind of help from any family member. And I have to find other ways to care for my mom.
And even if you said, I'm really sorry for snapping on Easter, I'm sorry about that. I'm exhausted. I'm so stressed out. I'm overwhelmed.
I did tell them that after pretty much snapped. I tried to calm myself down because I realized I was not getting anywhere. And I tried to get them to understand where I was coming from, but they just didn't. They didn't. And
is any of, like, you can say, you know what? I wonder if you can say this. Like, you might not believe me about my mom, but here's actually the medical. Here's what the doctor says. So I just want to show you the medical report.
Right.
Let's see what you think.
So they did say, if you have documentation, please send it over and we'll look at it. And then I said, well, are you going to believe me if I do that? And my two cousins said, maybe. And my aunt still said, no. I don't know where to go from there. Like, why even waste energy on them if they're not going to believe me and if they're not going to help?
That's too bad, because your mom still probably recognizes her sister.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She still loves enjoys, family.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Still enjoys talking to her.
Yeah. She loves family. To her, family is everything, even though they're not the best. And I don't understand that. But, you know, she's the reason why I took my mom over on Easter, because my mom wanted to be with family. but I mean, sometimes that's not the best.
So you're learning where you can and cannot get support and help.
Yeah.
And at this point, things change in time. You never know. Things down the road might change, but for right now, you're not getting the support from them.
No, not at all.
And you're right. Maybe it's going to be from an IHSS worker, someone you hire from outside, mm-hmm. or from a program, an Alzheimer's Day program that she goes to. Maybe that's where you're going to get the support that you need.
It's going to have to be. My girlfriend does help when she can. She's mm-hmm. a very busy person. She's currently doing a PhD at UCLA, and she's always busy. But whenever there's a problem, like if my mom is mad at me and her looking at me makes things worse, I could just call my girlfriend and I put her on speaker, and she has the ability to make my mom feel heard and kind of de-escalate the situation, which is amazing. I'm so thankful that she's in my life and that she can do that. But
goodness, yes.
I mean, that's the closest thing that I have to help, to have others help me. Other than that, yeah.
And you will find more people like your girlfriend. You will.
I hope so.
Yes. I have faith that you will. It's just going to take time. And right now it's not your family, and that's okay. It will come from the outside.
Yeah.
And how about, so it sounds like you're in a support group. Is this a support group for people in their 20s and 30s? Is that the group you're in?
There's a support group for young onset. And I believe that one is mostly made up of people who have spouses mm-hmm. that have some kind of dementia. But I joined that one. Both my mom and I have had kind of trouble because she still feels super like independent because it's so early. And that's why I joined that one, because I wanted to kind of see how people dealt with that. And then there's the other one where it's like young children, caregivers, mm-hmm. Kind of thing. I honestly have not gone to either of those in a while. The one that I've been to most recently is through, I'm not sure if it's affiliated at all with USC, but a student from USC is the host of that one. And it's basically a group of like five of us that are around 30 or very close to that age that care for their parents. Three of us, our parents have dementia, some kind of dementia. And I stopped going. I stopped attending that one because there were times when it would just be depressing, because I would hear everybody just kind of vent. And I know that I'm not alone, but it's depressing because nobody has any answers. Nobody can help each other. It's like, I hear you, but I don't know how to help because I'm in the same boat. And
it wasn't helpful just to know that you're not alone. It wasn't helpful to hear that you weren't alone.
Well, it's just, I wish that I could help, but nobody had any answers. And
it's interesting because so many caregivers in your situation feel alone. Mm-hmm. They feel like they're out there on their own doing this. No one else is doing the same thing. And going to a support group often makes them feel like, oh, I'm not alone. Even though I'm home with my mom or I'm home with my husband, there really are other people out there doing the same thing. But for you, that you want actual help.
Well, yeah, because that was also when things were a little more fresh and I didn't know what was happening with my mom. I didn't know, you know, how to deal with certain situations. I guess there are times when it is helpful to talk to someone that has been in the situation that I am. And it is nice to get advice, but yeah, I kind of had to stop going because it was just making me a little more depressed than usual. But I quickly learned after I stopped going that I do need a support group, because if I vent to my friends, I make them worry about me. And for one of my friends, it just got to be too much where she had to kind of just step away from me. Because it was just, our conversations were just heavy. And then if I vent to my girlfriend, although she doesn't do this anymore because she kind of took it a certain way when I told her, though I didn't mean anything by it, but she cried last time that I vented to her, and she didn't know how to help me. And it's not that I want her to fix my problems. I just kind of wanted to be heard. And I guess that's why it's good to be in a support group, because a lot of people that are not caregivers would not understand the position that you're in. So to them, it's really heavy stuff. And if they don't know how to help, they kind of just shut down a little bit.
No, I think that's absolutely true. And I think it's okay to say that. I just need a sounding board. You don't need, there's no fix here. There's no cure. I'm not asking for that. I'm just asking. I just need to get all of this off my chest. I just need to get it out there and then I'll feel better. So I just kind of need someone to contain all of this, all these feelings, the sadness and disappointment. And here you're only 29, right? I mean, you would never expect something like this to be coming about in your life.
Oh, no. I had no idea what I was getting myself into when I said, okay, well, I have to go take care of my mom. No idea. I just thought, oh, my mom needs someone, so I'll go because I know nobody else will. So I'll go and I'll help her and I'll find a job and it'll be great.
It'll be great. I'll help her at night when I get home from work.
It wasn't like that at all. I had no idea what I was getting myself into.
No, I don't think anyone does. Would you do it all over again, knowing what you know now?
Well, yeah, I'd still have to. Just although my mom has a big family, they don't step up, and she's my mom. I want to make sure that she's safe. So yeah, I would do it again.
Yeah,
I would.
You're clear on that. Good.
Yeah. It's hard.
You know, it's hard. It's hard. It's so hard. And it's sad.
Yeah.
And I understand. Anyone would understand your tears and your frustration, your anger, your resentment with your family. I think anyone could understand that. Absolutely. Yeah. And hopefully you can reach out to sources of help that'll really be there for you, right? Your girlfriend. Right. Through Alzheimer's LA, there's something called El Portal. I'm not sure exactly what they offer, but I think they have support. I mean, you're bilingual, bicultural, clearly, but I don't know if they have any services like for your mom that might help her. Because it sounds like she's mostly Spanish speaking. Is that right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She is. I have reached out to many people since I moved back home. I've actually lost track of who is from where and who recommended what. It's just very hard to keep on top of while doing all this.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
I mean,
right. It's just too much. That's why they have years ago, a woman, Nancy Mace, wrote this book called The 36-Hour Day. And that's what you're looking at, a 36-hour day. Like, there's just too much to do. And 24 hours is not enough to do it.
Right. Yes. She's had a neuropsych test done, but the report was so vague that we had to look into getting a PET scan. And the neurologist also wants her to do another neuropsych test. Her appointment's coming up next month. So he wants to compare both and also look at the results of the PET scan. He did mention that just by looking at it, he did see signs of Alzheimer's in different parts of her brain. So I mean, that's not a surprise to me because I have suspected Alzheimer's for a little while now. When I was at her appointment filling out her forms for her PET scan, they asked, what are her symptoms? And I looked up Alzheimer's symptoms. Basically, it was everything. Everything that was on there, that was my mom. She had it all. He did say to give him a few weeks to read it and be sure, because he wants to read it himself and also use the software because he wants to be 100% sure before he says it's something. But he has told me that he does believe it to be Alzheimer's. So that's where we're at.
How would that be for you, just psychologically? Would that be confirm your hunch, or like a relief in a way that you're not crazy? Something really is going on with her.
I mean, I would know what to expect. Mm-hmm. Although everybody is different, I would have an idea of what to expect and kind of like a rough timeline. Although, yeah, everybody is different. They either progress very quickly or they don't.
Yeah, I agree. An idea. Right, right. And you could read about Alzheimer's and have a sense of what's coming down the road whenever, however.
Right. But at the moment, her current diagnosis is mild neurocognitive, but that's where my mom is.
I see. And you're thinking it seems like she's progressed into dementia.
Oh, yeah. Since I've been with her, I've noticed that she's gone downhill pretty quick. Mm. For someone that can still do things on her own, just basic things, she's gone downhill pretty quickly.
Have they put her on the medications?
We've tried, but it didn't really work well for her. So the neurologist wants to just stop for right now, just keep going with the medications that do work for her. And kind of once he knows what's going on with her PET scan, he'll have a better idea. Also, because of her past experiences with different medications, he knows what her brain chemistry is like and what works, what doesn't, and we'll go from there.
And it sounds like maybe medicating the suspiciousness and the sadness, the tearfulness, that might be kind of more important at this point.
That's what I've been trying to work on with him. And so far, it's not perfect, but it's the medications that he has provided have helped slightly, but they've helped. And honestly, whatever relief is just great.
Like, absolutely. Whatever works, whatever helps.
Yes.
Yeah, do it. Do you think there are cultural differences in taking care of your mom?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Well, my mom is Mexican, and things that I've noticed just from growing up in Boyle Heights and the East LA area, just having friends that are also of Mexican descent, going over to their houses and seeing their moms caring for their grandmothers who also have dementia, just that's a thing. Like, we tend to care for our loved ones even when things are difficult for us. And my girlfriend and her family has suggested maybe putting my mom in a facility where she has better care, but I can't get my head around that, at least not at this moment. It is a cultural thing, but I feel like my mom is better off with me than she would be just in a home with strangers. So I feel like that's where I'm at the moment.
Yeah. Oh, wow. This is a big story, a sad story, really. But I have faith that if you tap into the kind of the resource of caregivers out there, your in-home supportive services or wherever you're going to decide to get caregivers to help you, it's a process, but you will find someone to help and to give you relief when you need it.
Yeah.
I just know from working with families that it takes time to find the right fit, but eventually you do.
Right. I'm hoping that once I get her diagnosis, which I'm hoping would be within the next month or so, that it would be a lot easier to get her on programs because I would have proof like, hey, this is what's happening with my mom. I need help. And then things would move along quickly. So that's what I'm hoping for. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, good. Keep your hope alive. I think you're right. Evelyn, can I check back in with you? Would you be willing to come back as things progress with your mom and kind of as you go along in this journey? Would you be willing to come back and talk with me?
Yeah, of course.
That would be great. I would appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you for coming on today. I so appreciate you having the courage to share your story with me. I do believe others will glean from your story, will learn from you. So thank you for coming on. I appreciate you.
Thank you for joining us today on another episode of Dementia Discussions. If you're a caregiver or know someone who's a caregiver that would like to be a guest on the show, please call me at 310-362-8232 or go to dementiadiscussions.net/contact and let me know. I would love to have you. Remember that you can follow Dementia Discussions on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and many more. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, it would mean a lot if you would leave me a review. For any other information about this podcast, please visit me at dementiadiscussions.net. And please share this podcast with someone you know if you think it may help. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you here again next time on Dementia Discussions.